This is News in No Time. Tony Cox. Biggie, Tupac, JonBenet Ramsey, just a few of the thousands of unsolved murder cases in the United States alone. We continue now with our series on crime with a look back on some of the more notorious cases. Later on, we're going to examine why so many of us are so intrigued by murder mysteries. Joining me now is Frankie Bailey. She's Associate Professor of Criminal Justice at the University of Albany. Welcome to News and Notes.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
There are so many types of crimes. Which ones tend to grab our attention? Isn't it murder?
Murder does grab our attention, yes, because murder, although most murders in reality are fairly garden variety, someone having a brawl in a bar type of murders, the ones that we're attracted to tend to be the sensational cases.
Now, there are literally thousands of these kinds of cases going back through history, some that have, you know, withstood the test of time. What are some of the most famous ones in the U.S.?
Well, you know, there's a very long list, and, you know, actually a colleague and I had a five-volume set on famous American crimes and trials, so I can't go over all of them. But let me just mention a few, and I want to mention one in London as well. But, for example, going back to the 19th century, the Mary Rogers case. Here in Albany, we have Jack Legs Diamond, the Prohibition gangster who was killed in Albany. We have the Elizabeth Short case.
Oh, yeah, the Black Dahlia, right? That's Black
exactly.
Dahlia.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. The Lizzie Borden case. And then we get into the 20th century, and there's a whole line of cases that at the time were called the crime of the century. For example, the Harry Thaw Stanford White case. Not an unsolved case, but a very famous case. So many of the more famous cases actually did have some resolution, but there are a few that still remain unsolved for one reason or another. I mentioned Lizzie Borden, which technically did go to trial because Lizzie Borden was charged with the murders of her father and stepmother and stood trial, but she was acquitted. And so technically the case is still unsolved, as in the O.J. Simpson case in modern times.
Now, we all know about Jack the Ripper, a famous London case. Is that the most famous of the cases overseas?
Well, Jack the Ripper is really interesting. Not necessarily the most famous, but perhaps the most famous serial killer, because as some scholars have argued, he introduced the age of the modern serial killer, the modern sex killer, because he killed five prostitutes in a poor area in London, Whitechapel, in 1888. And he was very much in terms of how people were beginning to think about the dangers of the city, this idea that a killer could move through the fog, even as police hunted and searched for him, he was able to kill and disappear.
Now, we also have murder cases that are actually assassinations involving people like Malcolm X and Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King. But those are of a different type, are they not?
Yeah, because even when an offender, a suspect is identified and goes to trial, there's often the suspicion that there is some untold story, some conspiracy involving the government or someone else, that some conspiracy has been covered up and people continue to believe that about many of these cases. Jack Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X.
Now, except for Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, you don't normally hear, do you, stories of murders of African Americans becoming big, at least until Tupac and Biggie, right? Am I right about that?
Well, we do have the Atlanta child murder cases
involving Wayne Williams,
mm-hmm. and that's kind of interesting because you do have a black man arrested and charged with those murders, but again, the suspicion on the part of some people that he was not the guilty party.
Now, why is it? Why is it that we don't have, there seems to be an imbalance in terms of really, I hate to use the word popular, but I can't think of another one at the moment, murder cases when the victims are African American?
There's a kind of interesting question there, and you know, I teach a class in race and crime, so I could talk for a long time about this. But I think the short version of that is that in terms of the cases that receive, and talking about the modern period now, in terms of the cases that receive intense media coverage. These tend to be cases that would appeal to an audience of television watchers and consumers who are going to be pushing up the ratings of television stations and newspapers that cover a case. And so the cases tend to be cases that would appeal to that audience, white, middle class, or upper class. Often the cases are not even middle class, they're upper class, and they're fairly sensational cases involving celebrities, or a case involving a child, for example, cases involving innocent children, a case that the audience can identify with. Whereas with African Americans and other people of color, there is an assumption about the typical African American offender and the typical suspect, the typical victim. And since the 1960s, the assumption has been that these are inner city crimes and that somehow they don't affect a larger audience.
Does it matter whether or not, in terms of whether a crime will become one that fits into the pantheon of crimes, does it matter whether it's the victim that the story is built around or the perpetrator of the crime?
Well, it all depends. I mean, if you have a really good villain like Jack the Ripper, for example, or Ted Bundy in the United States, Ted Bundy is an example of a villain, an offender who was appealing to many people. He was, educated, white, male, handsome, charming, and that was one of the ways that he had appealed to his victims, to the women he killed. But he also continued to appeal to an audience even when he was on death row. So it all depends, I guess, is the best answer. And so there are some victims that are particularly appealing, as I mentioned, children. And we had this discussion not too many years ago about the single white female. Those cases in which a young white female was the victim tended to appeal. Some cases involving the elderly may capture the attention of the audience.
Has there been, in your estimation, a bigger black villain than O.J. Simpson in modern times?
Well, O.J. Simpson's interesting because he started out as someone that the audience, and here when I'm talking about the readers, the viewers, that people like in the beginning. He had established a career as an actor, as a sports figure, celebrity. People like him. But then gradually over time, as we see in some other cases, his popularity fell. And that is something that tends to happen when a media trial goes on over time. Opinions about the suspect and then later the defendant may change. But I think O.J. is interesting in the sense that he, like Lizzie Borden, was acquitted, but then later ostracized because people really thought he had gotten away with murder, in effect.
Frankie, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That was Frankie Bailey. She is an associate professor at the University of Albany. She's also the author of a number of crime novels, including You Should Have Died on Monday. She joined us from the studios of WAMC in Albany, New York.